Well, praise God. Are you glad you're here this morning? I'm glad I'm in the house of God this morning. So thankful for His goodness and His mercy. And we're going to talk about some things here this morning. Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 12. The book of Luke, chapter 12. And we're going to look at verse 6 and verse 7. Amen. Luke chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Praise God. Aren't you glad you're worth more than many sparrows?
Amen.
Praise God. We're going to talk about a little bit this morning. And I would like to just put a title on this, Beautiful Comparisons. Beautiful Comparisons. Sometimes when we compare things, we can get a better sense of value, better sense of what we've got a hold of. And I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. Let's pray together. Let's ask for the Lord's help. Somebody lift your voice with me this morning. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your touch. We ask you to lay your hand upon us this morning. Open the windows of heaven today. Through the word of God, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you this morning. You can be seated. When we look at the Word of God in the New Testament, if you have a New Testament with red letter edition, the red letters are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And He just had a way about Him, of comparing the natural world to the spiritual world. He just had a way of doing that. And Scripture says that He uttered things that had been kept secret from the foundation of the world. He used seeds and ground to paint beautiful word pictures about things like commitment, things like quality, and of course salvation and many other things. In other places, He spoke of vineyards and olive yards to emphasize the importance of good fruit. In another place, He used fish and fishermen to teach the need to catch men for the gospel's sake. And so it was very basic and very simple for us to understand. And the scripture that we read this morning has not departed from the same vein of thought and action. The parable that we read has to do with value. And you could find other things that it talks about that it's trying to impart to us. But the parable this morning is a great reminder of the value that the Lord places upon His creation and upon you and I. Praise God. Now, I just want to work on this a little bit here this morning. Can I have a little bit of time here this morning? Well, praise God. The biblical sparrow, I did a little bit of research into this, and the biblical sparrow would be hard to distinguish from the sparrow that immediately comes into mind here in America. They're virtually the same bird. They look the same to the untrained eye. They're about the same size, and there's a lot of them, and they're everywhere. But they're virtually the same bird that Jesus was talking about here in the scripture. And on the subject of value, which I believe that the Lord was trying to get across to each and every one of us, on the subject of value, we can see that they're not worth that much as far as money is concerned, but you know, monetary value isn't the measure of everything. Praise God. What we need to see is the value that the Lord has placed upon us. And so he said, two sparrows, if you go back a verse, I believe it is, two sparrows are worth a farthing. Everybody said a farthing. Now, I know you know what that is, but in case you don't, I'll let you know. Praise God. But a farthing, two sparrows are worth a farthing, and a farthing in modern monetary value is 3/8 of 1 cent. And so if you divide a penny into 8 parts, two sparrows would be worth 3 of those. Not really that much, especially when you consider that a penny's not worth a whole lot anymore anyway. I don't even know why we print them. It seems like a waste of time. But then you go here to the verse that we read this morning, verse 6, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And so now when you start adding up the number of sparrows, you can see that 2 is worth 1 and 5 is worth 2. And so in real-time world and purchases and so forth, if you buy 4 sparrows, you get 1 free. Praise the Lord. And that's how much they're worth. That's the value that Jesus placed upon them according to the market value of the day that he lived in. And so needless to say, the sparrow then and now are very common and plentiful. We don't really purchase, buy, and sell sparrows. We just let them do their thing out in the trees. Amen. Jesus, though, reached out to that bird that was a very low value in his time, and he used it to teach us a value, a sense of value, and a sense of love. God's love for you and I. Praise God. God loves us this morning. And that's more than a cliche. That is a matter of fact. I did a little bit of research, as I already said. There is approximately 4 billion sparrows worldwide. Just approximate. There's no way that they could actually know that. But about 4 billion of them, so they're very, very plenteous. And when he talked about them, he said, and not one of them is forgotten before God. Not one of them. So if there's 4 billion of them, and not one of them is forgotten by God in another place, if one of them falls, he marks it down in his book. I'll tell you what, we've got a God that is greater than all the computers in the world put together. Amen. And the reason that he does that is because everything that God created has value. Right. Everything that God made has a sense of value, may not to you and I, but it has a value in the eyes of the Lord. Praise God. And to put it into context of value, he goes on and he says, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now, I know some of you are going to get a little bit nervous right about now because we're going to talk about a little bit the very hairs of your head. Amen. I did a little bit of research on that. Would you like to know what I found? Yeah. Half of you do. And I understand why. I'm not going to try to be offensive here this morning. Doesn't say anything about the color of your hair or any of that. It just talks about the number of the hairs on your head. And so to put it into context of value, how much do you think 1 hair on your head is worth? Probably not very much at all. It's so small that it's really very insignificant. But there are approximately on some of us, and some of us it's not this way, there is approximately 100,000 hairs on the average human head. Amen. 100,000. And the Lord made it that way. God made it so that we would have that many on our head. And so there's about 7 billion. You know, sometimes I get off on these tangents here. There's about 7 billion people on the earth, so that would be 700 trillion hairs worldwide. Amen. I'm sure you know, you never thought of it that way, but he said that's the way it is. Every person, he's got a tally of how many hairs are upon your head. And so somewhere in our low estate, he keeps track of this seemingly very insignificant number. Someone also estimated or said that we lose about 50 to 100 hairs each day, making the total count as 350 billion hairs that God keeps track of every day now. That's not including the sparrows that he watches over, and not including everything else that he takes into account. But what we can see this morning is that God is very intimate with his physical creation. It's not just a group of molecules. It's not just a group of elements and things that God put together. But it was something that when the Lord looked at it, he said, it's good. I like this. And he liked it enough that he upholds it. We're going to get into that here in just a little bit. But he is definitely intimate with his physical creation, much more so than what we could ever imagine. I went a little bit further to look at the magnitude, you know, just a little bit of the magnitude. But there are 1 billion trillion. So if you take a trillion and take a billion of those, that's how many stars there are in the observable universe, just the observable. Whatever Hubble telescope can look and find way, way, way out there, there's approximately 1 billion trillion stars in the observable universe. And I would like to just remind us here this morning that it's not just a star that God threw out there, but in Psalm chapter 147 and verse 4, Scripture says, he telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Praise God. So the Lord didn't just make a star. Now, our star is not one of the larger ones in the universe. I've made mention of this here recently, that there are others who are literally billions of times bigger than our star. And ours is fairly small in comparison to the others. But the Bible says he telleth the number of the stars. Psalm 147 and verse 4. And so when God created it, the Bible says he created the stars also, or he made the stars also. Almost like it was an afterthought, but we know it wasn't an afterthought. But he made the stars. And when he made the stars, the Lord counted each and every one of them. Somewhere in his book, there is an account of each and every star. And then it says, he calleth them all by their names. I wonder how many of us, with the modern computer situation that we have and the different languages in the world, how many of us could come up with 1 billion trillion names? I don't think any of us could even come close. I don't think all of the scientists together could even come close to that many names. But the Lord was intimately involved with his creation, that to the point he gave each star a name. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Wow. Praise God. We serve an awesome God this morning. Amen. And that's everything that we can see. And what we can't see was also created by him. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Praise the Lord. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Amen. I know I'm not moving fast this morning, but we're moving. Amen. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. For by him, everybody said, for by him. By him and him alone, there's only one God this morning. For by him were all things created, not a few things, but all things were created that are in heaven and are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And so you look at that, the word consist there means to be in a fixed, permanent state. In other words, there's no chaos. In other words, there is no disorder. Amen. It is in a fixed and a permanent state by him. Amen. We look at the universe and it is orderly. Amen. I saw just an article here just, I think it was this last week, where the very first time they saw a star explode, they actually caught it with 9 hours of looking at it through the telescope, and it would look like just a regular star in a constellation, or not a constellation, in a galaxy, and all of a sudden the star got really bright, and then it went away. And if that was a explosion of a star and a disintegration of a star, there is a great God who opened up his book and said, George just went out. Amen. I don't know if he named that star George or not, but there's a name to that star. And he wrote it in his book that the star collapsed, or whatever it was that happened to that star. Amen. And so, for by him were all things created in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible. So what we can understand this morning is that the visible world is not all that there is. Amen. This visible world is not all complete. Amen. There is an invisible world. And can I say that I think the invisible world, there's much more in the invisible world than there is in the visible world. That's why we don't look at the things that are seen, but we look at the things that are not seen. For the things that are not seen are eternal, and the things that are seen are temporary. Praise God. So all of the stars in the heaven, all the hairs on your head, don't worry about it. You're going to lose them all one of these days. Amen. All the stars are going to be gone. Everything is going to be gone because it is temporary. But there are some things that are eternal, and that is the things that we cannot see. Amen. We cannot see the eternal things. Jesus brought this beautiful, marvelous comparison here and this beautiful truth for a statement of order for you and I. Luke chapter 12 and verse 7. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, for you are of more value than many sparrows. Amen. And so all the hairs of your head are numbered. Amen. We could go from the back of the sanctuary this morning to the pulpit this morning, and some folks get upset, you know, when they comb their hair and there's a lot of hair that comes out on the comb. You know what? The Lord made it that way. Right. And it wasn't just an accident. There was a great God with somehow or another to write it down in his book that this morning, on Sunday morning, whatever the date is today, praise God, And the time that you looked at yourself in the mirror and then looked down at your comb or your brush, there was a God who took notice of that. And there are 7 other billion people on this planet approximately that the Lord took notice of this very morning when they got up and started out in the course of their day. He had to adjust the numbers of the very hairs of their head. And so if the Lord is that interested in us, if he is that intimate with his relationship, how is it that we cannot have faith that he cares about you and I? I want you to know he cares about you and I.
Yes.
And we are worth much more than a sparrow, roughly $160 of materials and elements are contained in a normal average person. So if you understand this morning, you're worth about $160. Amen. It used to be years ago, it was only a few dollars, and inflation, we're worth more now. But the $160 is worth less, so it kind of averages itself out. Amen. So in the eyes of humanity, in the measuring of scientists and so on and so forth, mathematicians, figuring out these things, they put a price tag on an individual. There are some countries where the price tag of a person is probably not worth as much as a sparrow. Amen. There are some countries where they would just as soon shoot you as anything. Amen. Because the value of a person is so very small. Amen. And it's important this morning that we get a sense of value, that we understand the value of who we are and what we are. Amen. The Lord does not measure us by dollars and cents. He does not measure. He measured the sparrows that way, but he never measured us that way. He never said that you are worth $160, a sparrow's worth one farthing. He never said that. He just measured the sparrow, because the sparrow is not like you and I, with a soul and an eternal destination before it. Amen. And so they're not worth as much. There is an intrinsic and physical value to them. Amen. The great thing that is about you and I that's so different from stars, from birds, and from anything else that God created is the spiritual value that's been placed upon each and every one of us. And there is a spiritual value, and I want to look at that a little bit this morning. I've already mentioned this, but when you take into account that stars and birds and everything is going to be gone someday, it gives us a better comprehension and sense of value and a comprehension of eternity and where we stand as people. Praise God. You're not worth just $160 this morning. You're not just worth $1,000. You're not just worth $1,000,000. Amen. There really is no price tag that you can put on your life. Amen. Because the Lord looks at you and I as the beauty of his creation. Praise God. The devil wants you to think that you're ugly and valueless. But I'm here to tell somebody this morning, you have great value in the eyes of the Lord. And whatever you are and whoever you are, you are a beautiful, beautiful thing that God created and he loves with all of his heart.
Amen.
Well, praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's go to a scripture this morning. And let's look at the physical and the spiritual. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 35. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And we know that birds are not raised up. We know that when things in this world die, they're gone. But how are the dead, humanity, how are they raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that's played out in the physical world. When we plant a seed, Jesus said, except a corn of wheat die and fall into the ground, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it's going to bring forth much fruit. He said, that which is sowed is not quickened, or it is not regenerated except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him. And he's using the physical world as a reference here. And to every seed his own body. In other words, a corn looks like a corn, and wheat, and so on and so forth. They have a different body. They have a different makeup, a different way of looking at it, and a way of growing, and so on and so forth. But God hath given it a body as he pleased him, to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men. Everybody said one kind. One kind. There has been in time past for people that are racist, people that put other people down, to say that some people are not fully human and they don't have a whole soul. Years and years ago, it was said that a black man only had two-thirds of a soul and was not a complete human being. But that goes contrary to Scripture. Everybody is the same in the eyes of God. Every human is the same in the eyes of God. And we're not going to play into this racial situation. It doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what your nationality is, it doesn't matter where you've come from or what language you speak or what color your skin is. Amen. God loves everybody. God made us that way. God made us that way so that there would be a diversity among us. I'm glad we all don't look the same. I'm glad I don't look like you. And you're glad that you didn't look like me. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. Well, I guess I better not go there. Amen. Maybe I should. No, I'm not going to. That's a little inside joke. Amen. But beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. Amen. And well, praise God. Moving on here this morning. No, I think I will tell you. I think I will tell you. Amen. This morning my wife said, oh, you're so handsome. And I said, now I know you're just putting me on here, because I looked in the mirror this morning and I know better. Praise God. Brother Mike, you're looking pretty good this morning. He knows better because he looked in the mirror this morning. Praise God. I'm glad I don't look like you and you don't look like me. We're all individuals. Praise God. Wouldn't it be a boring world if everybody looked like everybody else? We all had the same mental awareness and we all had the same intelligence or lack of intelligence. We were all exactly the same. What a boring world that would be. Amen. But God made us so that opposites attract. So he had to make opposites. And he made those that are fair and those that are not fair, those that are smart and those that aren't as smart. Amen. Well, praise God. so that it tempers us, so that there is a working among us. Amen. But there's, and I got that all from that one scripture right there. Amen. Praise God. And so there is only one flesh of humanity. There's not different kinds of flesh in humanity. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. And we understand that. And it is a different kind of flesh. You have to cook birds different than you do fish. And you have to cook the beasts. Some of you love your beasts. Amen. And you know how to cook that steak that came from a beast. Amen. There are celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. And the glory of the celestial, which would be the heavenly, and the glory of the terrestrial, which is like the mountains and the oceans and all of that, is another. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon. In other words, one shines in one way and another shines in another way. And another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. So think about that. 1 billion trillion stars, and not one of them is the same as another star. It differs. It is different. Amen. Now, folks, we've got to understand this this morning, because we can't look at ourselves in the mirror and say, God, you caught a big fish when you caught me. Well, praise the Lord. And we can't look at others and say, I'm better than that person. Right. Amen. Because you're not better than that person. Maybe others feel that way, but it doesn't matter how people feel. It matters how God feels. And according to the Word of God, there is a different glory. There's a different glory of humanity. One will have a glory that the other one does not have. Amen. I saw a young man, I forget his first name, but by the time he had graduated from high school, Brother Greg, he had engineered and built a nuclear reactor in his mom and dad's garage. Now, I'll tell you what, I thought about that, and I thought, that's a mom and dad that really love their boy. Or, I don't know, they just may not be thinking straight. Amen. Brother Reed, if one of your boys comes to you and says, I want to build a nuclear power plant in the garage, I know what he would say. Go get your own garage. Praise God. Amen. But, you know, there he is, just a prodigy. And then there's others that, you know, like myself, that got a D in algebra in high school. And it just doesn't resonate with me that much. I mean, I use it every now and then, and I like to read about it. But when it really comes down to it, it's not that interesting. Amen. And there are folks, you know, that can get through calculus and, you know, calculus 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, or however far you go into physics and all of that, and they just talk a different language than other people talk. And you look at that and say, I didn't even understand what they're saying, but they're building some big, gigantic proton generator thing that's underneath the ground and covers probably 100 miles or more, so they can smash atoms together, and they're talking about it like it's just a normal conversation of the day. You know, my greatest challenge is getting up in the morning and going through the day. Well, I know the rest of you are not that way, but there's a glory of one and a glory of the other. Amen. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Now, excuse me, now we're setting up a deal here in Scripture where we're now talking about that which is eternal. And when you talk about things that are eternal, now all of a sudden you're switching from, the visible to the invisible, and you're going from a state that's about right here to the furthest star that we've ever seen in the universe. Amen. You're talking about a sense of value that we need to have about the physical things of this world that are down here somewhere, but spiritual things are so high that even if you understand calculus and all of that, you're still not going to be able to understand the value and the comprehension of eternal things. Praise God. Scripture says, and let's move on here through this scripture, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. And so in comparison here, as Jesus gave us a comparison of the birds and so forth, in comparison, it is sown in dishonor. Amen. How many of us here this morning feel like we deserve to go to heaven? Let's see your hand this morning. And the reason that we don't feel like we deserve to go to heaven is because there are things in our life that we would say, this is a dishonor to me. I've done this, I've done that, I've done the other. I have these struggles in my life, and so I don't deserve to go to heaven. I don't deserve to spend eternity. There is too much dishonor. But the Bible says it is raised in glory. Amen. So I'm talking about a beautiful comparison here this morning of where we are and where the Lord wants to take us. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. Everybody said weakness. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. And so when we look at weakness, amen, we look at the weakness of our body. We look at the weakness of our mind, the weakness of our spirit. And we say there's no hope for us. But the Bible says it is raised in power. And so there is a time coming when we're not going to deal with sickness. There's a time that is coming that we're not going to deal with the physical maladies and all kinds of things that would come upon us in this world. Amen. We're not going to have to worry about COVID. We're not going to have to worry about the flu. Not going to have to worry about cancer and all of those kinds of things. Well, praise God. I'm looking forward to that day because it is going to be raised in power. It is sown a natural body. And so your natural body was made by God, but it will be raised a spiritual body. So there's going to be a change. Well, praise God. There's going to be a change that takes place. And we're not going to be as we are right now. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. A living soul. He never did that with the birds. He never did that with the stars. He never did that with the elements. The only thing he did that with was you and I. Well, we ought to just praise God for that this morning. Amen. The first man was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. And so we have a body and we have a spirit. Howbeit that which was not first is, which, excuse me, howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And so God did not make us spiritual in the beginning. He made us natural in the beginning so that we could live in this world and go through life. And my, it happens so very, very quickly.
Amen.
You may not notice it now if you're young. I mean, the little children that are here this morning, your grandson, sister, you right there, Sister Glenda. Well, praise the Lord. her little grandson isn't little anymore. He's a young man and growing up so quickly. And I said this morning, it passes so very, very quickly. And things change so quickly this morning. Amen. This physical is not all there is to life. This physical is not all there is to living and having life, but there is a spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man, oh, now look at this morning. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Praise God. So we know this morning that when God created all things, He was not disconnected from His creation. But when God created all things, He became intimate with His creation. Amen. And loved and looks at His creation as something that is very, very good. Praise God. It ought to give us hope this morning. It ought to give us confidence this morning. Amen. It ought to give us a feeling and an understanding of value and a comparison of who we are and where we're going and what we're going to be. Amen. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Amen. Praise God. He never said that about the birds. He never said that about any of His creation. The only thing He said that about was you and I. Oh, the love that God has for us. Amen. That He came and robed Himself in flesh. He came and humbled Himself. He was not good looking. He was not endowed with physical strength. Amen. But He came and robed Himself in that body called Jesus Christ. And He walked the shores of Galilee. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. But the greatest thing that He did was go to Calvary and die for you and I. Amen. Matthew 27 and 26. And when He had scourged Jesus, He delivered Him to be crucified. Just think about that this morning. Here is the Creator of the universe tied to a whipping post and scourged with whips. Amen. And then to be delivered to be crucified. But Isaiah 53 and verse 5 talks about the connection and the value that God has for you and I, the value He has placed upon us. But He, that would be speaking of God, Jesus Christ, that He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Praise God. And I'm still there in the scripture where it talks about the birds in Luke chapter 12. Jesus said, very hairs of your head are all numbered. That's Luke 12 and verse 7. And then He said, fear not. Fear not. Everybody said, fear not. Fear not. What I've tried to do this morning is to paint a picture of God's creation and God's intimate interaction with His creation, whether it be visible or invisible. But Jesus said, fear not, therefore. And that the word therefore is a connecting word that connects two thoughts together. And what He was talking about here was the hairs of our head and the sparrows and the value of the sparrows. But then He said, fear not. Fear not, therefore. You are more value than many sparrows. And when we look at that, we could see through the action of God that we are mega more valuable than many sparrows. Amen. Are you afraid this morning? Are you fearful? Don't be afraid. God loves you. And when we understand the comparisons, then we can understand the life and the joy of serving God. Do you love serving God this morning? Do you love Him with all of your heart? Praise God. The birds sing and the heavens declare the glory of God. It's what the scripture says. But how much more should you and I sing and declare His praises, because we are connected with a God who cares about us physically and spiritually. Luke 12, verse 28. And I'm going to finish here in just a few moments. I'm really kind of throwing the Sunday school off again. But that's good for them. Praise God. Luke 12 and verse 28. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more? Somebody said, much more. How much more will He clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. They're just looking at the physical, that which is seen. And your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. We do need these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then He says again here, fear not. Somebody said, fear not. Fear not, little flock. Oh, in the world we look like a little flock. But in the eyes of God, we're a very precious commodity. Amen. Something of great, great, great value. It is your Father's good pleasure. Good pleasure. Amen. And I'm sure there are fathers here this morning that it's your good pleasure to do good things for your children. Amen. He wants to give us the kingdom. And in finishing here this morning, Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us some things? Is that what it says? It doesn't say some things, Brother Greg. He said all things. If God be for us, who can be against us? He will give us freely, 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 freely. Amen. You don't have to do anything. You just have to walk with Him and accept the love that He wants to share with you and I. Let's stand together this morning. Isn't the Word of God awesome? Yes. The deeper you dig into it, the more awesome it becomes. That's right. Amen. And I'm looking forward to service tonight, looking forward to the Word of God. Amen. But I'm telling you this morning, there is a God that loves you more than you could ever imagine. The devil wants to destroy your faith in God. And when he destroys faith, faith is a byproduct of an understanding of love. When you understand that God loves you, when you really, really know that God loves you, then you're just going to stand and say, you know, He's going to take care of it. Because He loves me. And He loves me that much. I remember in Mulvane, where I grew up, we lived down by the railroad tracks. We used to joke about that, down the south end of town by the railroad tracks. And it was kind of a little bit of a rough neighborhood, not too bad. But one day they grabbed my brother, a couple of them held his arms behind his back. The other one started beating on him. My brother was hollering out, and I didn't go over there to fight. I've told this story before. I was just too skinny. I was tall and lanky. My arms were about the size of a garden hose. And I just wasn't very strong at all, so I just took off for running for home. Sometimes it's better not to fight, Hunter. It's better to run home. Amen. Go get somebody that's bigger than you. Make a friend at school. That's what I did. I made a friend at school that was taller than me and bigger than me. Praise God, just in case. Just in case. And I busted through the screen door yelling out, "Dad, Dad, they're beating up Mike." And my dad got out of his chair. Smoke was coming out of his ears. He had a look on his face that I'd never seen before. And he come out of that front door, headed right for those boys. And when they saw my dad a-coming, I'm telling you what, they came one way, but they departed seven ways. And I won that day. I won because of a father who loved me. My brother won because of a father who loved him. How much more if we just call on him? Just take the time to call on him. You'll hear him talk to you back. And he won't tell you that you're insignificant. He won't tell you that you're ugly. He won't tell you that you don't measure up because of this, that, or the other. But he'll say, "I'm so glad that you called me. I've been waiting to talk to you. I want to talk to you for a little bit. I got some things I want to tell you. I want to hear what you have to say. Go ahead and talk to me." Amen. In some places in the scripture, the Bible says that they sat down and they had dinner together. I've thought about that, Brother Charlie. Sitting down at the dinner table with Jesus. Praise God. You don't just sit down at the dinner table and just let one person talk. Right, Brother Mike? There's a back and forth that takes place. Amen. You get to talk about your feelings and so on and so forth, and the other person talks about theirs. I really don't like eating by myself. Maybe you do. That's all right. But I don't like eating by myself. I want to talk to somebody while I'm eating. I want there to be a conversation. Praise God. The God of heaven came down to this world and looked at filthy, dirty humanity and say, "Hey, I'm coming to your house today. We're going to have lunch together." Lord, I thank you. God, I praise you this morning. Lord, in my weakness, be strong today. In my dishonor, Lord, raise it up to honor. I give you thanks this morning. I praise your name this morning. I give you honor, praise, and thanks for your love. I thank you for your love. I have faith in you. I trust you. I believe you. I believe in your love. You're not going to let me be destroyed, because if God be for me, who can be against me? And you are definitely for me, and I praise you for it this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.